It takes to do one. We're going to read the first three verses together. I'm going to confuse you. Normally, we read responsively. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. You read verse 3 with me, all right? So I'm going to read two verses, the first two. You join me on verse 3. Brother Barnes, can you give me just a titch more volume? There's a lot of bodies in here absorbing the sound, so that's not a fat joke. I don't joke about that, all right? It's not funny anymore. Hey, I'm kind of like Brother Hiles. I'm dropping weight. It went from here to my waist. I'm hoping I live long enough it comes out my feet. Amen. But Isaiah chapter 61, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. I'll read verses 1 and 2 out loud. You join me on verse 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. There's not a human in this room that doesn't have a heartache, a burden, a problem. Lord, I pray that you just use today. May you still our hearts. Would you keep us with our minds stayed on the preaching of the Word of God? Lord, I'm just a vessel, just a voice. I pray that you'd use it to meet the needs of every person in this room. Holy Spirit of God, do that which I cannot do. Lord, apply it to each and every person individually. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we preach your word, that we would understand it anew and afresh in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I know it's Mother's Day, and I'm not preaching just to the women today, and I'm not just preaching at the men. I'm preaching to every person in this room. I want to help you ladies especially. But, men, help us to understand something. If I can help the ladies, I can help you too. I need you to listen to me. I know you're tired. Some of you men work hard and things, but I need you to slap yourself or let somebody slap you, and we'll keep you awake here, all right? I'm going to get me a stack of books up here and just start zinging them at everybody. you pay attention. I want to help you this morning. We often joke about how men and women are so different. But God made it so that man and woman could get along in unity. Woman was created, the Bible says, to be man's completer. I want you to notice the Bible doesn't say that a woman is to be a man's slave. God said that she'll complete you. Now, listen to me very carefully. That means man is incomplete without woman. Is that not what God said? God looked down and said, it's not good for thee to be alone. I will make thee an helpmeet. Man by himself, this world would be a pretty nasty place if it were just made up of men. It would be the world's largest locker room that stinks. Amen? And there sure would be no children. You talk about something would be mean, gross, nasty, harsh, rough. It would be a world without women. Now, listen to me very carefully. But because of sin, God said that there was an instability placed upon the woman. We won't go into the verbiage, but if you go to Genesis chapter 3, you find out that the husband was then to be the head of the wife, and she would rely on him. In other words, and by the way, I said this a couple weeks ago, the man may be the head, but the wife is the neck. She decides which way it turns. Amen? Now, this in no way means that man is always right. Men, we have to understand something. We're not always right. Brother Jimbo, I hate to disappoint you. Brother Rich is not always right. You know, Brother Harry, I hate to disappoint you, but we know Joe's not always right. Can I tell you something? We men often think we're right, even when we know we're right, and we find out we weren't right. All right? If a man was incomplete without woman, now listen to this statement, that means man's decisions are incomplete without a woman's input. Everybody doing okay? I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. Somebody say amen. Man needs a woman's input, and she needs someone to rely on and take the cushion for her if her input was not correct. Men and women should and can make decisions together and get along while they do it. Amen. That is God's plan. But man put something, or God put something in man that's different than in a woman. Amen. Man has this desire to fix everything, usually because he's so good at breaking everything. Yeah. Most men think they're fixing something because they can point out that it's broke. Can I tell you something? A three-year-old knows when he breaks his toy. Just because you can say it's broke doesn't mean you fixed it. It's called 1-800-CALL-MEL-BUSH. All right? That's how you fix things, amen? Wait a minute. Yeah, that's right, Brother Stoltz. Most men say, well, as I see it, this is what needs done, whether they listen to anybody else or not. And with, now, listen to me very carefully. If you do that in your marriage or do that with your daughters or your mom or some other lady that you work with, you got to be careful because we tend to crush the one God gave us to give us input from. Are they doing okay? We men tend to be hard on the ones God gave us to complete us because we were incomplete without them. And after we crush them and we remove from them everything that could help us, we get mad at them, and here's the word we'll use, for being an emotional creature. Well, God bless you, ding dong. You're the one that crushed her. No woman is as hard as a man, not even Hillary. A woman, the Bible says, now listen to me, is a weaker vessel. That does not mean that she's not a human being. My wife banged into a door the other day at the hotel. They ended up, the only room left in this hotel was a handicap room. That is not good for somebody that's my age. You talk about depressing. I was doing fine till we stopped below Clarksburg for dinner at Ryan's. I told my wife I'm never stopping there again. She said, why? I walked in, the lady says, are you military or senior discount? I said, shut your mouth. She looked at me. I said, that really hurt. She said, well, I'm not a real good judge of age, and I haven't asked it a few times, and people went and got my manager, so I asked it to everybody. I said, that's not fair. I'll be 50 in 2 weeks. I said, it's not funny. Do I look like a senior citizen? She said, I'm not saying anything. She said, no, you look very young. I said, you don't lie very well. Oh, that hurt right through the heart, you know? Now, no woman is as tough as a man. She's the weaker vessel, but because she's weaker does not mean she's worthless.
That's right.
Sometimes the weakest vessel carries the heaviest load.
Yep.
Sometimes the weaker vessel carries the most precious load. Amen. It's our job, men, to be completed by her, not destroy her vessel. Though she may be more fragile, we need her to be complete. She's not there just to cook, clean, and do what you don't want to do. Why do we men smash the fragile vessels of ladies and then complain that they're not what we need or want all the time? Come on, ladies, wave your hanky. All right, I'm helping you now. Don't sharpen your elbow. It's coming back in a second here. Now, my job as a man is to protect the fragile vessel of every lady and keep her full. Especially that one right there. That's my wife. My job as her husband is to protect her and keep her vessel from being destroyed and to keep her full. By the way, if you went to Genesis chapter 3, you'll find out. Man, I got an itch. That doesn't happen very often. But you'll find out when Adam is credited or whatever with the first sin, Eve partook of the fruit first. But why is it said that Adam sinned? Because he was standing right next to her and allowed her to do that which was wrong. The Bible says that she took and ate and gave also unto her husband with her. He was not protecting her, allowed her to make a bad decision, and it was his fault for not protecting her. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Eve ate of the forbidden fruit first, not Adam. But Adam is the one attributed with the sin because he did not protect her, and a husband and wife are one. They made a bad decision together, but it was his fault. If I make a bad decision and my wife and I conferred upon it, it's my fault, not hers, that it was a bad decision.
Right.
That's what leadership does.
Yes.
Leadership grabs hold of the reins, whether it's good or bad, and says, I can take it. It's my fault. If we put something out that's printed and it's printed wrong, it's not my secretary's fault. It's my fault for not checking it. Everybody doing okay? Now, I may go back to my secretary later and say, Mrs. Barnes, next time I think we ought to do this. But it's not your fault. It's mine. I didn't check it. Say, well, she did it. She does a lot of my work, but I'll take the blame, not her. She doesn't write my sermons, praise the Lord. Can't blame her for that one. Now, I am to protect every lady the same way. You know, it's not just my job to protect my wife. I'm to protect my daughter. I'm to protect April and Ebony and Dawn and Jesse and Miss Loretta and Mung and Leanne and Joan and Miss Osi and Kathy and every other lady in this room. I don't have time to go through everybody. My job is to protect you. My job is to allow your fragile vessel to be fragile, keep it full, so that what's inside that vessel is there when I need it to help. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm not to crack and break you, deplete you, and then complain that you're broken and empty. Let me say it this way. If you're driving down the road, your oil light comes on, and you start hearing this in the engine, and you throw a rod through the side of your engine, it's not time to stop and put oil in it. Putting the oil in at that point in time, worthless. You're supposed to have that oil changed regularly. Take care of it regularly. Just turned 195,000 miles on my old truck out there. I drove that thing to Kentucky and back. Say, did it worry you? No. I had a good time in it. I've got to drive it again this fall. Time or two. All the way back, 1,000 miles each way. You say, why aren't you worried about it, preacher? Because I stay up with oil changes. Got a new air filter in that thing, too. Stay up with the maintenance on it. And as long as you do the preventive maintenance, that thing will last an awful long time. Fellas, we're to do the preventive maintenance on these ladies. Make sure that we're not waiting until the rod starts pushing through the engine and the oil starts flowing out the bottom of the engine before we say, well, you're no good. You're broke. Now, hang on for a second. I don't know what I said. Now, fellas, children, teenagers, it's our job to protect the ladies. By the way, this will work in any relationship, just so you know. It works amongst men as well. Man to man, woman to woman, etc., etc. It works in every relationship. You see, but and especially we're to keep the ladies filled so that they can encourage us and help us when we need it. I don't care how tough you are, fellas. You need a woman. Amen. Promise you. I don't care how tough you think you are. Oh, I can make it without my wife. Not for very long. Not happily, that's for sure. Now listen to me very carefully here. We're to maintain and put back into her what we take out so that we can protect her, so that she can complete us while we're going through life together. By the way, we can do all of this while enjoying it and enjoying each other and the relationship we have. Do you know that I enjoy the relationship I have with my wife? But may I say this, I enjoy the relationship I have with each and every individual lady in this church. I pick on April a lot because she's like the sister I never had. And since I didn't have one, I get to pick on her a lot. But wait a minute. I enjoy the relationship I have with Tammy and Ron. I enjoy my relationship with Joe and Leanne. I was Joe and Ashley. I sent Ashley something this week I thought she would enjoy. You say, why? Because that's somebody in our church that I care about, trying to keep them full. Harry and Kathy, good night. Miss Kathy is one of the most thoughtful people you'll ever meet in your whole life. You talk about a lady that tries to encourage her preacher and her preacher's wife. That's Kathy. But wait a minute, Miss Sherry. I text Sherry and Larry just about every day, let them know I'm praying for them. I'll get a little encouragement back from them. Even Rhonda. Now wait a minute. I've known Rhonda a long time. Say why? Because there's going to be a day when I need each and every one of you. Why is that, preacher? If I can keep you full, if I can do the maintenance on it, when I'm in need, you're there. When you're in need, I'm there. And we can encourage each other and get through this a whole lot better. I call this sermon Encouraging the Encourager. Encouraging the Encourager. I need my wife. I do. I hope to God that when it's time to go to heaven, either the rapture takes place or I die first, because I don't want to be here without her. Now, I'm not looking to take the next boat out yet either. But we, ladies, we need you. For me to get the encouragement and strength I need from you, I must protect you and put into you that which I will later need so that I can draw from it. Does that make sense to everybody? This glass sitting in the pulpit with nothing in it doesn't bring any refreshment. So I must make sure that the glass stays protected so that when it's filled and I need something in it, not to baptize like a Methodist, there's something to be able to put into it so that we can draw from it. That is exactly what we're to do in life with each other and our relationships. Now, I should not deplete you and then look in and say, well, you're empty. Smash that thing down and break it and throw it away. Everybody doing okay? I especially should not get upset if I'm the one that broke you. I ought to be able to be wise enough to say, I shouldn't have done that. I hurt you. I'm sorry. God uses some interesting terms here in Isaiah chapter 61 that to me is one of the most beautiful pictures in Scripture. Now, I've got about 18 minutes. I want you to listen to me. I may take a little more than that, but not a whole lot more. But I want you to, if you mark in your Bibles, I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 3. The Bible says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Those are three of the most beautiful terms in Scripture. To me, God's word is just so clear We're going to talk about those three statements today. Number one, we're to supply beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. Ashes are the leftovers or the remains after you've burned something up. That's what's left after you've had total devastation of a fire. Ashes. Ashes, they're really not good for much. They're just dust. They're dust after a fire has ripped through, and they really don't have much use. God says when somebody is, and allow me to use this term, not in a druggy way, but when somebody is burned out, all right? We used to call people that were pothead burnouts, amen? They burned out their brains. But that's not what God's saying here. This is when somebody is burned out emotionally. There are ladies in this room, you're wore out, you're burned out emotionally. The fire has come through your life and your emotions are just ash right now. This is somebody who's tired or weary, and your weariness has burned you out. If you would have seen my wife and I Friday evening, we were burned out. I had been burning the candle at both ends for an awful long time. And I needed a little time to recover to make it back through. You say, what was that? We were just wiped out, burned out. And we had to replace the ashes with beauty, the Bible says. She needed beauty rest, and I needed her to get her beauty rest. Amen? Now, the inside of my wood stove is not a beautiful place. Do you ever see the inside of somebody's wood stove that's full of ashes? It's been burnt all and soot and stuff. God says we can get our lives like that, and we're to replace that with beauty. Now listen to me very carefully. The word beauty here means fancy hat, jewelry, or I'll use the word ornamentation, necklaces and earrings and things like that. You know, when somebody is burned out, we're supposed to replace it with beauty. I texted my daughter-in-law this morning, and I kind of figured today would be a hard day on her. They lost a baby about a year, year and a half ago. And I wished her a good day and prayed for her. Told her, I said, I'm very proud of you. We love you. My son texted me later. I said, I think your wife's having a tough day. He said, Dad, she does. He said, but every Mother's Day since last year when we were up there, and every day she has a tough day, she always wears the earrings that you got for her. I got them for my wife and got a deal. I got two for one, and I gave one to my daughter, set to my daughter-in-law, one to my wife. They were not super, super fancy, but something that a new pastor's wife was going to need someday. And I said to my son, that's humbling. She texted me back, and she said, Dad, I love you too. She said, it's just a tough day, but thanks. Say, what was that? We've replaced ashes with beauty. Ash, it doesn't take the pain away, but I was able to keep that fragile vessel a little longer. I thought of Greg and Rhonda in the last couple weeks. Anniversary date of their daughter being killed in a motorcycle accident and son-in-law. Oh, my heart broke. Couldn't do much. But I can let you know we're here and we love you. It doesn't take the pain away. I thought of some of you ladies in this room. I thought of Arlene this morning. That's a lady who on Mother's Day, it's a tough day. She got two boys in heaven, grown sons. God, for some reason, took them both early. Arlene, I thought about you this morning so much. My heart was just ripped out. I thought of my mother. She only had one normal child. And then there's my brother. Folks, if I don't make you laugh, we're all going to be sobbing here in a second. Can I tell you something? We all have heartache. Why is it that when those days come that we sometimes get hard on people? How about we replace that ash with some beauty? Let's do something kind and goodly for someone. It doesn't need to be expensive. It doesn't even need to be asked for. You just think about it and do something for that person. That's called replacing beauty for ashes. Let's just not throw the ashes away and complain about the dust. Fellas, if your wife's having a tough time, why don't you do something instead of sitting there complaining about and throwing the ashes everywhere? Well, she ought to be tough enough to take that. She's not. Please pardon how rough this statement will be, but quit trying to act like a sodomite and have a man for a wife. We get into this homosexual mentality where we expect them to be as tough as we are. They're not. They're not. Good night. My wife bumped into a door at the hotel. You thought I forgot that, didn't you? She got a bruise on her arm. Good night. I've had flies hit me harder than that, probably. I don't bruise. I can look at her the wrong way and she can bruise. I just don't bruise. Neil, you don't either, do you? She can beat you now and you never see it. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to replace ashes with beauty. When somebody's burned out and they're tired and they're stressed and they're wore down, we're not supposed to get harder on them. We're supposed to love them and replace it with beauty. Bob, you need a lot of beauty. Thank God. But you know what? I've seen Bob when he's had some tough days. Been at the hospital with him. Tried to pump a little bit of beauty in that ugly face, amen? Say, what was that? He burned out. He's tired. He's wore down. Needs some help. So we replace ashes with beauty. I love this next statement. You ready? God says, the oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy for mourning. Mourning is deep sorrow, grief, deep depression. Brother Roy, you lost your wife. Miss Adelia, Wiley, your mama. Brian, we lost your dear wife to cancer. I preached mom and your wife's funeral service, memorial service. You know, both of those ladies came to this church and got saved and are in heaven. I was thinking of Rick. Your brother came and got, he didn't ever come to church, but because you all came and got saved, eventually my son and I went and knocked on his door and won your brother to Christ, 6 weeks before he went to heaven? Say, what is that? Pouring the oil of joy into mourning. Brother Roy, I thought of you this morning. This is your first Mother's Day without your wife. Wiley, I thought about you. I did. I've had 49 Mother's Days with my mom. There's a lot. How many of you in here have lost your mom? Raise your hand. Oh, my soul. Many of you. My hand wasn't up, just so you know. I'm spoiled. Good night. My mom's 137 years old and still has her mom. I'm lying. She's only 135. My grandmother's 99 years old. My mom's birthday's this week. I will not tell you how old she is, but she's 3 years younger than my dad. can I tell you something? there's a day when all of us will probably lose our mama if natural things take place. Can I tell you something? We ought to enjoy them while we got them. God wants us to replace oil. That word oil means perfume, richness, fruitfulness. You'll like this, Brother Stoltz. A waxy shine. He said, I want you to replace that morning with something that smells good, something that will shine and bring joy. Fellas, when your wife is discouraged, quit screaming and hollering at her and acting like some orangutan in a zoo. Why don't you replace it with something that's good and smells good and fruitful? Amen. She might need just to have a little bit of time. This doesn't have to be about death only. Mourning isn't just death. It can just be deep sorrow about any disappointment. And fellas, you don't understand this, but a woman can get disappointed a whole lot easier than a man can. If the pie doesn't come out just right, she's disappointed. Good night. I don't care how the thing looks. You got to cut the stupid thing and chew it up. Who cares what it looks like? Amen, fellas?
Amen.
Brother Mike. I love my mother-in-law. I sent her a happy Mother's Day text this morning with something really nice. So I can say this, but one year we were on vacation, went to Minnesota into the land of
10,000 lakes.
Yeah, 10,000 feet of snow. I got there, and my mother-in-law had made me a fresh blueberry pie with blueberries they picked out back. I couldn't wait to dig into that thing. I love blueberry pie. Brother Mike, I dug into that thing, and I started chewing. I'm thinking, something's just not quite right. But my daddy taught me a long time ago, you don't say nothing, just poke the pie hole and swallow, amen? I chewed and chewed and swallowed and chewed and chewed and swallowed. Got time to be the next meal. She said, let me get you another piece of pie. Okay. I ate another one. She finally said, how's the pie? I said, it's good. I said, something's different. She said, something's different? She went and looked at it. She had made the pie weeks before and put it in the freezer, but she forgot to bake it. I was eating a raw pie. Brother Greg, I got it down, amen? Brother Bill, it still tasted good. Got blueberries in it. Now, wait a minute. Oh, she was embarrassed. She had another one sitting there. I said, better bake that one first. The baked one tasted better than the raw one, but the raw one wasn't all that bad. You say, how come you didn't say anything? Because I love my mother-in-law. I wasn't going to get her upset. Wait a minute. I wonder how many people would have got mad. We've laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed at that over the last 25 years or so. Every time she goes to get a pie, I say, did you bake it? And I get this, oh. I've said it so many times now, she said, yes, I baked it before she even goes to get it. My wife and her mom were talking a week or so ago, and they said something wasn't quite right that she made. I said, did she cook it? My wife translated that, and I didn't need to hear it on speakerphone. I could hear my mother-in-law, yes, I did. All right. Fellas, we don't understand. Okay, the pie wasn't baked, and we served it. Okay, we all ate it. Who cares? That's how a man thinks. A woman doesn't think that way. She can get hurt, sorrowful. She can mourn over that. Good night. I've seen my wife make stuff, and I thought it was great, and she was ready to throw it in the trash can. Don't you dare. I'll eat it. Well, it doesn't look good. My eyeballs don't taste it. My mouth does, amen? I don't care what it looks like. These idiots on the food channel, well, you taste with your eyes first. I have never stuck my face in a plate with my eyes before. Idiots. That's something Twink told him that, amen?
That's right.
Fellas, can I tell you something? I was talking to a young man in the last week or so. Fellas, sometimes a woman doesn't know why she feels that way. She just does. My mother told me about 30 years ago. She said, son, someday you're going to come home. Your wife's going to be sitting on the couch crying. You're going to say what's wrong. She's going to say, I don't know. Just believe her. Do you remember that? I didn't understand that. I didn't have a sister. Didn't make any sense to me. I've been married 28 years. I understand it. I've worked with hundreds of thousands of ladies. Trust me, I really understand that. Sometimes a woman doesn't know why she feels like she feels. She just feels that way. There doesn't have to be a reason. I have discovered that. Sometimes they do. Quit trying to... I'm going to use a statement here. Don't poke the bear. If you got a sleeping bear and you start poking him, eventually he's going to wake up and tear the snot out of you. If they say, I don't know, quit poking the bear. Amen, ladies? Some of you men know what I'm talking about. You poke the bear one too many times. You got mauled. Can I tell you something? You don't have to know why, just know that she is. Don't worry about why. The why will come out if it needs to, and she may not know why. Don't try to fix it, just accept it. Boy, that was a good statement. You know, we need to make sure that we allow people, you ladies, allow people to fill your vessel. Some of you have been hurt and you won't let anybody fill it back up. You think because a man or some men have hurt you that every man's against you, and you won't let somebody help you, and you're depleting yourself and wonder why you're burned out all the time. You're rejecting the joy that could fill you because you've been hurt. Like, my vessel is cracked. That doesn't mean it still won't hold things. Might not be able to fill it all the way, but we'll fill it up to where it will hold.
Amen.
So, the Bible says that beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and I love this, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Listen to this statement very carefully. To those of my critics on... line. Listen very carefully. We're to cover up, clothe a spirit of heaviness.
Everybody look at me. I'm going to throw my once every 2 or 3 week tirade here.
The whole world can die and go to the booger, man, before one of our kids in our church that messes up. I'm going to stand them up here in front of everybody and tell you why they messed up.
Amen.
That's wicked as hell. Number one, you can't do anything about it anyway. So all you want to do is go around town and tell everybody what that person did. Number two, listen to me very carefully here. You're knowing it isn't going to change what happened. And number three, it's not scriptural.
Amen.
My critics will often say, well, you just believe in covering up sin. Well, my Bible says that God covered it with the blood of Jesus. Why do you want to expose it?
Amen.
And he also says that we're to use the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness.
Amen.
This is a garment. You know what a garment's supposed to do? Cover you up. The world needs to learn that to cover up.
Amen.
The world's garments of praise don't cover much.
That's right. Preach it.
And they wonder why they're freaked out and upset all the time. Can I tell you something? When somebody's down, we're supposed to take a garment of praise and cover them with it to clothe and to cover that spirit of heaviness. Man, I love this.
Miss Wally, you were a nurse for 3,000 years. Seems like it, amen? When Jeff went to the hospital the other night, they ended up wrapping his foot. They would call it in the hospital dressing a wound. They put a garment over it. You say why? Because that is one ugly foot, let me tell you. Now, wait a minute. You will dress a wound, but you want to, you men in leadership know what I'm talking about. You get in somebody's face, they call it undressing somebody. In the military, they get in your face and they're going to undress the situation. Say, what is that? You're about to get your head ripped off. Now listen to me very carefully. We need to focus on praise in times of darkness, feebleness, weakness, and dimness. When somebody is down and heavy, we're supposed to clothe them with praise. By the way, can I tell you something? The best way to get out of your depression is praise. Yes. When you're down, start praising God. Amen. When you're down, start thanking God and praising God for all you do have. Amen. Praise God for all He has done for you. Not just the situation you're in, but learn to praise. It'll help you get you out of that spirit of heaviness. Yes. I promise you. Well, preacher, you just don't understand the problems I'm going through. If you knew how many problems I help people with, preacher, you know what I'm talking about, Brother Rick. I'll be honest with you. I don't remember the last day I had that I didn't get bad news. I mean that. People I know, people I love, people I care about, and the bad news I get on a regular basis. Say, preacher, how do you keep from being down? I've learned how to praise God. Amen. I've learned how to praise each other and start praising people so that I don't stay down. I got a group of preachers that every Sunday morning, about 4.5 years ago when we started this church, I decided I wasn't going to be one of those gossiping preachers and trying to figure out what everybody else was doing. I decided I was going to take a group of men of God that I know and love, try to encourage them. I didn't try to start anything, just tried to keep everybody encouraged. That say why? Because there was going to be a day when I needed encouraged, and I need some men of God that were encouraged, try to pour something into them so when I needed to draw from it, it was there. I couldn't tell you how many that man runs in church. We never talk about that. But we talk about visitors, people saved, people baptized, lives changed all the time.
Yes.
He told me this morning that he was going to not come till 11 o'clock and watch Joel Osteen this morning. I said, well, what's new? We just kind of teased back and forth a little bit. You thought you were going to get away with that, didn't you? Now, wait a minute. Encourage doesn't mean fix something. Praise doesn't mean fix it. You know, if Brother Harry's got a problem, I might not be able to fix it, but I can at least praise and encourage him. Been married to her too long for me to fix it, amen? I was somewhere this week and saw him in a parking lot. I thought, this is going to be fun. I pulled up next to him in my truck, and I hit the horn just as I pulled up next to him. I forgot that he just had 5-way bypass surgery. That was not a good thing. Kathy jumped out of the car laughing. He was sitting there going, I said, well, at least it's still working. Got the blood pressure back up. I thought, oh, why'd you do that? You shouldn't have done that. But it was funny. Can I tell you something? When somebody's hurt, when somebody's heavy, you don't fix it anyway. You know, when somebody's going through the problems and the heaviness of depression, you can't fix it. You can encourage them. Once they finally start coming back out of it is the time to fix it. You can't fix it. Hey, if you're squawking with your wife and you're both about ready to kill each other, I can't fix your marriage. I can get you to quit fussing with one another so we can fix it later. One appointment isn't going to fix it. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right here. You'll need to get encouragement so that later down the road, you know how to help somebody else and how to prevent it from happening again. Let me say it this way. We need to cover or use a garment with... those with a bad or a hurt spirit. We need to pull them up with praise. Not stand them up in front of everybody and tell them all the bad things they've done. Matter of fact, my Bible says, so is a man to his praise. So is a man to his praise. Instead of sitting there complaining about everything, how about we praise them for the good that they do?
Yes.
Do you think every person in this room is good all the time? No, you're not. Ellen, what are you giggling for? Now, wait a minute. None of us are good all the time. Hopefully, we're not all bad on the same day. Brother Rick, you'll appreciate this. You know, if Moses and God ever agreed on the same day, there would never be a Jew. If you read the book of Exodus, you find out one day Moses is ready to kill them all. God, just get rid of all these complainers. Start over. God says, now Moses, just be patient with them. The very next chapter, God says, Moses, get out of my way. I'm going to kill them all and start all over. And God, you can't do that. The very next chapter, Moses is ready to kill them all again. God says, be merciful. If they ever agreed on the same day, we wouldn't have any Jews. Not a one. That's kind of like marriage. We're not supposed to be down at the same time. We're to fill each other so that when the other is about to come unscrewed, we can keep the nut screwed in tight enough to not pop off. Amen?
Amen.
You can praise yourself out of heaviness. And I don't mean talk about how wonderful you are. Oh, I'm just so wonderful, God, and thank you that I'm this, and thank you that I'm that. Gag, that's Joel Osteen. That's vomit to God. But I mean, you start praising God and getting your eyes off your own problems and getting on how good God is, I'll promise you, you won't stay down very long. And you learn to praise others instead of looking at your problem. Can I tell you what got Job in trouble? He started looking at all the problems instead of praising God. He was okay as long as he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But when he listened to the depression of his three friends and the criticism, and it finally got to him after his wife turned her back on him, he finally sat down and said, God, just kill me and get it over with. Now, Job got back up. But it took praising God to get out of it. Everybody doing okay? I don't care how bad the problem. By the way, someday the news is coming that it's bad for you. Someday the news is coming it's bad for one of your children. Someday the news is coming that this bad thing or that tragic thing or this rough thing has happened. But can I tell you something? You don't have to stay down in it. Huh. Ladies, you may be the weaker vessel, but you hold the completion of mankind in your power. You hold the completion of mankind in your power. May I say this? Use it wisely. And to you men, you can crush a woman's vessel, deplete it to where you have nothing to be complete, and you walk around like some angry beast all the time. Instead of doing that, how about us not complain about it, but help us to fill her vessel. Protect her vessel. Protect her spirit. Protect her in every which way so that when we do feel like stabbing old ladies with ice picks and eating her eyeballs for breakfast, that she can say, now, honey, you ought not do that. I don't think that's what y'all do. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're ready to push people in wheelchairs off the steps. And every man in here knows what I'm talking about. You can get so mean and ornery, you don't care who gets hurt. You really don't. And half the time, you don't even know you're hurting anybody. I can bump into my wife or my daughter and they'll say, ouch. And I'm thinking, I barely touched you. It hurt them. It didn't hurt me. Man, if it didn't hurt me, it couldn't have hurt you. That's not true. A man doesn't think that way. Ladies, you may be the weaker vessel, but you hold the completion of mankind in your vessel. Mm-hmm. Men, let's quit trying to fix them. Let's try to fill them. Let's not wait till we have broken them to fix them. How about we do preventive maintenance and keep them full and keep them protected? God does this for us. He said, you're broken and on your way to hell. But I provided you a way through Jesus Christ to get your sins forgiven and covered and never be judged for it ever again. He said, you never have to face it again. I'll replace beauty for ashes. I'll give you the oil of joy, the Holy Spirit, for a spirit of heaviness. God, after we get saved, gives us the Holy Spirit to give us the oil of joy to replace that spirit of heaviness. Then he says, I'll clothe you with garments of praise for mourning. Right there's the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God and the reading of the Word of God and the counsel of the Word of God will clothe you upon with immortality to allow you to get through those difficult days. Brother Brian. I can't take the pain away. Rearing those kids by yourself. But can I tell you something? God's there with you. Remember the day my daddy and my daughter won you to Christ. That man hasn't missed two church services since. Say, what happened? God got a hold of it. Yeah. Brother Roy sat at the table the day or so after your wife went to heaven with you and Wiley. I can't take the pain away, but we know where she's at, and God can pour the oil of joy into that spirit of heaviness. Ladies, tried to help you today. Don't refuse people filling your vessel. Can I tell you what happens with these women libbers? They don't want anybody protecting them. They don't want anybody to protect them. Their vessel has been so broken, they don't want anybody to be near it. That's why they're so nasty and mean and rude. Wicked. Let's not get that way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who would say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon is something I personally needed. Don't matter if you're a man, woman, man, boy, child, teenager, doesn't matter. But, preacher, I needed that this morning. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Just about every hand. You may put them down. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. When the piano begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you raised your hand, do this for me. I know there's not a lot of room here. Either use your chair as an altar or come as far forward as you can. But this ought to change your life today. Maybe a husband and wife need to get together and pray with one another. Maybe a child and a parent need to pray with one another together. Whatever it is that you need in your life today, as the piano begins to play, let's stand to our feet.